Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips. It's me, your boy Brian, always joined by my fantastic co-host Rick Landis. How we doing, good buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Holiday season is upon us. I had off work today because of weather, so I got some things done around the house that needed to get done finally. But yeah, I mean, we're living, life's good. How about yourself?
Dude, doing good. Yeah, the weather was nasty last night and today. It was gross out there. So nice that you got the day off there. Other than that, not a whole lot. Obviously doing Christmas shopping and still got to wrap. That's always the most pain in my ass is wrapping. How good are you at wrapping presents?
Horrible. I'm terrible at it. I'm really bad at it.
I'm so bad. Like, how do you get the...
If it's a strict box, I can wrap it okay. But if it's not a box, then I can't wrap it.
Dude, I'm a big gift bag person. And it, sometimes it feels like a cop out, but I'm huge into gift bags. If I could do all my presents in a gift bag, I would. But then you look at it and you're like, okay, so you just can't wrap presents. And you don't want to be the person's like, you can't wrap presents, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's brutal, like it's gonna be like, oh, you know,
yeah,
I appreciate it. Because there's something more, you know, satisfying and tactile about unwrapping an actual present. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's something to that.
Yeah, I agree.
But I just can't seem to get, like, even if it is a rigid box, I can't seem to get the math right on either on like how much I need, or I got too little and I got to like cut a little piece off and cover it, and it just, it's brutal the whole way. I know there's like, there's definitely like videos online of like people helping you unpack or not unpack, helping you wrap presents. And I should probably watch one or two of those, but I might just be too lazy. I don't know.
Pop on Present Talk.
Yeah, get on Present Talk. Well, now that I've said it out loud, it's going to pop up on my phone because, you know, Big Brother's always listening. But anyways, what wasn't a great Christmas gift from you, Rick, my friend, is a swift exit from the fantasy football playoffs. That went about as poorly as it could have gone for me. And actually, it went about as poorly. It went as poorly as it could for you, too. But you got the dub done.
It could have gone way worse. If I started the right people, it would have been a huge blowout. But still edged it out. McCaffrey made me nervous, and it wasn't that I expected him not to, but flirt. Wasn't that I expected him not to, but he scored three touchdowns,
41
like,
points.
It was just like they were in the red zone, and I was like, cool, just give it to Deebo Samuel, and Tom would be like, McCaffrey, and I'm like, son of a, and like, just every time.
Yeah, man. And
if any execs from the NFL are listening right now, or anybody who has any pull, if McCaffrey doesn't get MVP this year, you're all idiots.
You're all so dumb.
You're all idiots. There's no quarterback in the league that deserves it more.
Not one.
And Tyreek Hill missed time, which always hurts people's MVP chances.
Yeah, I mean,
McCaffrey has been healthy all year.
Mm-hmm.
He's crushed it all year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't understand where there's even a conversation at this point.
Like,
Niners are nothing without McCaffrey.
I 100%. Because there's that one week where he and Deebo Samuel were out, right?
There was
like a 3-week stretch where that's where the Niners got all their losses, was Deebo was out.
And McCaffrey hasn't missed a game this year.
So who was that? It was Deebo and Brandon Ayuk?
Maybe Ayuk.
Whatever it was, they had just glaring missing weapons, and the offense was very mid. Just because if Christian McCaffrey is your only offense, then you might run into some issues, because it's really easy to stop the run game when you know that's the only option they have. But when you have to be honest and cover Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, yeah, the run game is about as easy as it gets. That's pie. And also you have an elite running back who's has to be an MVP this year. There's just no doubt in my mind. And
I don't think there's anybody else that's even close to deserving of it.
for what it's worth, I mean, preseason, I had Jets Niners. Obviously, you know, everything
Jets
happened
might
with
sneak in.
they can sneak in, but I don't see an Aaron Rodgers-less Jets team going to the world,
Who's saying they're going to
the Super
be Aaron
Bowl.
Rodgers-less?
That's fair. That's fair.
They opened up his practice window.
Did you hear he made a one-handed pick while like fake playing linebacker during
Really?
walkthroughs? Yeah.
Wait.
One of the
Wait,
offensive linemen was like, "What are you doing?" Look, I know Aaron Rodgers is a bit of a weirdo. I love him.
yeah.
He's
No,
a
I
weird
think
dude, but
he's
I love
great.
him.
I think he's great.
Nah, but unfortunately, it's a middling season for me, pretty much smack dab right in the middle.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, and also I have my first round pick is Tom's, and Tom looks like he's pretty geared up to maybe make a run at it. So I'm picking at the end of the first round.
Yeah, I have yours.
Sorry for the middling pick. I couldn't help you out
No,
there.
it's okay. It's better than what mine would have been because
That's fair.
I have yours and mine, and mine is at least going to be 8-12 somewhere at this point
Right.
because I'm taking the dub this week. But yours is still going to be, I don't know exactly how like it works after this, because like.
Well, it would be reseeding based on points for everybody who lost this
So,
week.
like, if you score more points than Chris this
Grits would
week.
get the better pick.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I'm really rooting for Chris right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need big days. I need, what do I
Big
need? 30
days for
points.
Chris here. Big day. I'm
30
also
points
rooting
for
for Chris
mine.
because if Tom doesn't make it out of the first round, that's huge for me.
Yeah.
But if he does, right, that tonight goes about how it's expected to go at least, and Tom makes it to the next round and so on and so forth, and my pick's pretty bad. Do you think it's a trade fodder type of first round pick? Because I've never done a rookie draft, so I don't know what kind of value is at the end of the first round.
Late first, you're not
Not
gonna
gonna.
get much trade for that.
I know, but yeah.
What I did last year was
Packaging?
I had, what did I have? I think I had six. I had the sixth overall pick.
Right.
And I ended up trading that. Let me see if I can find it real quick because I was like, I don't want anybody that is.
Projected to go there.
Yeah, I don't want anybody in that group of people. I don't know how to find it. Anyway, I traded it and I got 2 second round picks. And I might have gotten something else with it. I don't remember for sure, but I know I ended up with the first, second, and third pick in the second round.
Right.
I got the first overall in the second round and the third overall in the second round. And I think something else. But anyway, I ended up getting Laporta with the first overall in the second. I got Mayer immediately after him. And then I ended up with Bigsby after that because there's no good running backs left. But like there you can work things like that, but you're gonna have to drop back into the second round, especially if it's a 10-12 pick. Like a lot of people aren't really gonna be going for that necessarily.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough one. I'll see if I can't figure it out, but right now I'm just trying to figure out what my team really needs. What my team actually needs is for the Bears to figure out how to put together an offense that can, you know, I don't know, catch the ball would be
Well,
big.
if Marvin
That'd be huge.
Harrison Jr. comes out,
Justin
there's a
Fields
chance.
would look so good if he just had some weapons or an offensive line that helped.
Personally, as the Bears, with my first two first round picks, I'm taking two offensive linemen.
I know, me too.
But
But everybody wants the big fish in the pond. So, or you just get an offensive lineman and Marvin Harrison Jr. That's fine.
yeah.
Do
With
that.
your first or second overall, I think they should do what they did this year with the Panthers and just trade back and let somebody else have it and then
Yeah,
get a
but
bunch of picks in return.
yeah, I mean that could work, especially if they're kind of looking at it and they're like, you know what? The receivers weren't that bad, you know, especially DJ Moore. He was good.
Yeah.
They could really use a wide receiver too, though. They really
Yeah,
could.
but here's the thing. What they did with the Panthers last year is they dropped back to the eighth spot in the draft.
Right.
So like if you look at the teams that are not going to be super high in the draft, but like could probably use someone, like the Raiders might be looking for a quarterback, Atlanta might be looking for a quarterback. Like there's some teams kind of in the middle there where you can get what you got from the Panthers this year as far as multiple first round picks, multiple other picks, and still not be too far out of reach, because wide receivers typically don't go top eight, top 10 anyway. It's usually the
Right.
offensive linemen, the quarterbacks, all that stuff. So you could essentially still drop back and end up with him.
I think it depends on how much they value that offensive line pick.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get rid of the 1-1, that's fine. That makes sense, right? But that you might want to keep the 1-2 just for the offensive lineman if you're not gonna, go out and get Marvin Harrison. But
Oh yeah, definitely. But even if they traded back from one to like four or five, they still have currently the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They still have the eighth overall pick already on their own.
because if I can get the homies Kyler Murray and Justin Fields some weapons on offense, man, this team looks great. I gotta tell you. Ah, man. And I have Christian McCaffrey. So that's always if it comes into it next year and we're going into the trade deadline and it looks again like I'm either middling or bad, Christian McCaffrey's going somewhere.
I think you trade him this offseason.
God, that's on the table for anybody who's
I
a
think
part
you
of the
get that
league,
in.
and for anybody who's a part of the league, who's listening. So, John Murray, Christian McCaffrey, there's chances on the table in the offseason. There's definitely, I will be fielding phone calls, I believe, as they say
We'll
on
talk about
Twitter.
it. We'll talk about it.
I'll be fielding phone calls. All righty, but let's go ahead and get into the limited golf action, but golf action nonetheless. Not a whole lot of happenings, obviously, with the PGA Tour season taking a pause. We did have the PNC Championship. Tiger and Charlie did play. We'll talk about that towards the end of the episode. But right about now is about time that we talk about kind of what we talked about last week, but expand on it a little bit. Obviously, we had Jon Rahm go to LIV and all that jazz, and the merger had yet to happen and all everything like that. And people were pointing out, is Tony Finau going to leave? What's going on now? The world's crumbling. Well, the world hasn't put itself back together necessarily, but nothing else has happened. Tony Finau not only has not gone anywhere, but he doubled down on social media with a post saying he's excited for his 10th season on tour with a nice little hashtag, I'm not leaving. So good for Tony there. But a question for you, Rick. Do you think, because remember, Jon Rahm was very much a I'm not going anywhere guy. And then he went. Do you think with Jon Rahm being one of the guys that went over, do you think anybody is taking anything that any of these guys says as truth? I feel like.
No, because every single person that's gone over so far has said before they've gone over that they're not going over,
Yeah.
especially the ones where they're vocal about it. Like, I feel like the ones where it's like, oh, like, I don't know, Colin Morikawa. If Colin Morikawa is like, if there's a rumor going around that he's going, like he'll be like in a press conference and be like, yeah, I'm not going. But like that's where that ends. And it seems like all the guys where it's like they're posting about it on Twitter, they like put out like a statement or something like that. Like they're the ones that end up leaving like 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
So we got to take literally everything that these guys say with a grain of salt at this point, because money talks.
Yeah, money most certainly talks, and I'm glad that you brought that up because another guy, not anybody that has been associated with going over. In fact, I feel like he's maybe one of the few guys that's been like the least talked about that he would go over is Jordan Spieth. And he was
Yeah.
asked about it and had some comments about Jon Rahm heading over there. So here's what he said to the Associated Press. Quote, I don't think for him it was the money. I believe he saw two places that neither one was in a great situation right now. And he said, may as well have the money, unquote. So yeah, I feel like I don't know. I don't want to be like mean to Jordan here, but I feel like that's kind of a like no shit, Sherlock type of.
Yeah.
Yeah, because neither are in a great space right now. You have the LIV who's currently scrounging to find a, viable TV contracts and
Yeah.
get their schedule together. You have the PGA Tour losing guys left and right, just bleeding out of the arteries at this point, just trying to scrounge for any sort of solid ground to stick their flag into. In that situation, yeah, I'd also take the money, especially when it's a $300+ million deal. Yeah, I feel like there's no way that he didn't do it just solely to get his money and figure it out later, you know?
Yeah, no, I just it we said it before, like it just seems like one of those things, like he feels like this is gonna happen, and you might as well just go get the money now, and then everybody else will figure out the business part of it.
Yeah, and you know, you get that money, you sign that contract. It's, you know, the I believe 350 million is what's guaranteed in the contract, and the rest was like stipulations that could reach to 600 million. If it comes to the situation where the merger winds up being that everything comes into one league or whatever, then you know, that's still a guaranteed contract legally, that's binding, you know.
You're still getting 350 mil.
That's still happening, and nothing happens to your career almost. So that would be huge for Jon Rahm. However, with the, I mean, the December 31st deadline is quickly looming. We are under
Rapidly
15. I
approaching.
mean, we are under 15 days till that's happening. So right now, kind of looking at the grand scheme of things, with that not only on the horizon, but you know, gaining quickly, and Jon Rahm going over and signing that huge deal with Liv. It really does seem, no matter what ends up getting signed or what deal ends up getting done, that these will be separate leagues underneath one monetary entity. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? It
that's kind
doesn't
of the
feel
thought there.
like, yeah, it doesn't feel like now is when they're going to go ahead and put everything together.
Yeah.
Which means that for at least a season, Jon Rahm is going to be playing on the LIV Tour, doing
Yeah.
those eight events, et cetera, et cetera. So you look at it like that, and you start to wonder if LIV can start, like, especially with getting Jon Rahm, if they can start to really cash momentum as far as viewership is concerned. If we're looking at the end of next year, the PGA Tour has, you know, taking a hit to viewership numbers outside of majors and things like that. And, you know, the LIV is getting more viewership and there's more talk about that. And more guys have gone over, like larger names, like the ones you were bringing up, you know, in X or Patrick Cantlay or
Yeah.
Max Homer, guys like that. If they go over and there's more publicity over there and action, you're looking at the LIV holding all of the cards, not just a majority,
Yeah.
come this time next year.
Yeah.
So, let's say as of December 31st, it gets signed that the partnership will happen. But as of right now, everything stays as is and they'll work that stuff out later. They just have an agreement to do so. How do you think in a year's time it looks?
I mean, it's been what, 2 years already, and I feel like we haven't gotten anywhere on it except for into muddier waters. It seems like the right conversations just aren't happening as far as figuring out the details of everything that's going on. And until the right conversations start to happen, I don't see it getting any, I don't see there being any changes. And we can talk all we want about them coming together, but until the PGA Tour gives a little bit, I don't see it happening because these guys that have gone over to live now understand the beauty that is working, like actually working, as far as performing 8 weeks out of the year and getting paid a shit ton of money, as opposed to working or performing 40 weeks out of the year and not getting even close to as much as they got for working the 8 weeks. So, and I think that's where a lot of this is coming down to at this point is, if I had to guess, the main issue at this point is the players want guaranteed money if they're going to do this. They would love as much as the guys are making on the LIV Tour right now, but the PGA Tour is fighting to not give over financial control to the Saudis. And I think that's where the big issue is coming in. And the PGA Tour also can't guarantee the money that they can. So that's where I think there's a lot of issues going on right now, is it's just a power struggle of who's going to be in charge of this, who's going to have the final say on this, everything like that. And I don't know that that's something that can be resolved until someone decides to give way.
Yeah, and you bring up a fantastic point in that obviously the PGA Tour is very much pushing back on the Saudis controlling the money aspect of things, although they currently possess the amount of money it would take to appease the players as far as guaranteed money is concerned. And I'm really glad that you brought that up because there's, you're wondering where's the PGA going to get this kind of money to even bother competing with trying to keep people under the PGA Tour umbrella, obviously assuming that everything's going to be under one entity, just separate leagues. So here's something ESPN reported on Friday. A multi-billion dollar deal between the PGA Tour and Strategic Sports Group, which consists of a bunch of well-known billionaire team owners, it says here. I'm going to see who these team owners are. Strategic Sports. Because I've heard this name before. I was wondering who's involved there. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. No. Can't see any big names on here right now. But like I've heard that group before. They definitely are like, I mean, obviously they can do this with billions of dollars, but they're signing this deal, which is going to consist of $3 billion that will go to the PGA Tour, which is a huge influx of money for the tour, right? Now, I think that's them trying to kind of combat the amount of money that the Saudis have and like maybe do something along the lines of guaranteeing money almost. But then again, you wonder. I mean, the purses have already gone up for tournaments. They have signature events now, et cetera, et cetera. You're adding $3 billion more dollars into the rest of the season. What might this look like, with it being a contract with a entity that isn't the Saudi PIF? What could this mean for the tour? I think it's just a third investor almost. It's a surge of income to help the greater grand scheme of things of golf. It's just this one's going specifically to the titled PGA Tour, you know what I mean? What do you think? Do you think this has anything to do with maybe there not being a merger that goes through, maybe that goes stale or something?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, there's a whole lot that we just don't know right now, and it could be something to kind of even out the voting, I guess, if so you can have a majority rules on situations where you're like, where LIV is trying to do one thing, PGA Tour is trying to do the other thing. Now this third party is the tiebreaker, basically. Could be something like that, or it could just be a money investor kind of thing, like just something to kind of get some more money flowing into it. Not that they really need it if the Saudis are involved, but could be something like that. We have no idea at this point what.
I not only that, but it feels like there's just money falling out of trees.
Yeah, where's the tree?
How is there so much money going around with
Where's
this?
this tree at? Can I have the address so I can go get them?
Could I perchance have a seed? Can I get some of this tree action here? There's so much money involved in this, and it's getting to a point where it's almost insane. It's like a monetary rat race to see who can put the most money in the world into the sport of golf. And you're always going to lose that battle to the Saudis because if you keep giving shares to different people, the PGA Tour is not going to be the PGA Tour. It's going to be a bunch of companies that own a part of a golf thing. You know what I mean? I really think, and this could be, I mean, this could get unfortunate in a way, but I really think that the PGA Tour has put themselves in such a bad spot, they kind of have to just bend the knee to what the Saudis and the PIF are going to want to do. And maybe it'll be for the betterment of the game. Maybe it will get more entertaining. Maybe there is going to be less events, week in, week out, and we actually have the best possible golf happening like 20 weeks of a year or something like that. Not all the way to eight, but also not all the way to 40 plus, just somewhere smack dab in the middle. And I think that that's probably the best course of action is just Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour board just refuses to give an inch the other way, which I understand because this entity just came into golf, created a thing, and is now giving you
Yeah.
nothing but trouble. But that's kind of what they've done all over the world in sport. You look at what's going on with the professional soccer. You look what's going on with the with F1. This is what they've been doing.
Yeah, they're just trying to take control of it all. And yeah, Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour are just in such a tough spot. And it seems like they're just trying to stick to the old values of old man golf that everybody hates, which is you gotta be super proper and dressed up that when you're on the golf course and all these manners and everything, but that's just not what golf is anymore. COVID changed a whole lot of that. There's no doubt about that. Even before that, though, people were starting to get more into it. But the vibe around golf isn't what it used to be. It's not as much of a gentleman's kind of sport as it used to be when it started, where when it even came over to the Americas, that it was more of a gentleman's sport still than it is now. It's a degenerate sport. Most of the people that play golf are degenerates who do drugs and drink alcohol while they're on the golf course. They all suck at golf.
We're
None of
all
them are good.
horrendous.
And there's a direct correlation to how bad you are and how much of that stuff you do on the course.
There
No one,
is.
no matter what anybody says, no one gets better when they get drunk or high or whatever.
No,
Okay.
doesn't work that way.
But that's how people have fun doing this sport. And guess what? It gets them outside. They get at least a little bit of exercise. They're getting the social aspect because you're playing with Gur before. There's so many benefits to it that to stick to the old values of like this is a gentleman old man sport is naive, and you need to at least have an open mind to changing your opinions on it if you're a Jay Monahan in the PGA Tour. I'm not saying that you have to fully go into where Liv's at, where you have guys cracking beers and drinking on the course, but like like we've said it a million times, the waste management is a great place to start. Bring more events like that. Go to more areas where you're kind of like around a college town. Stuff where you're going to have people that are interested in it, the young people that are interested in it and are going to be posting it on social media, are going to be bragging to their friends about how they went there, are going to make your stuff look good. And don't, obviously, Augusta's different, but like, I don't know if there's any other tournaments that do it. Let people take videos, let people take pictures. Like, obviously, there's the whole thing with like copyright issues and stuff like that. And obviously, these players are part of the PGA Tour. So if people are making money off of it, that's when it becomes a problem. But if people want to post something on their Instagram story about something that's going on the PGA Tour, or even if it's like they want to repost something that the PGA Tour posted, because I know we've tried to do that and then it gets taken down,
Every time.
like stuff like that should be allowed because that's how people are going to get eyes on the game. And that's what people want to see.
And they definitely got beat to the punch there by Liv. I mean, I've talked to a guy that went to a Liv event, and he said it was so much fun. Like, there's so much going on at that event that's like not related to the golf part of it. He said there was like food trucks. There was like somewhere where it was like arcade basketball or something was going on. There was like an arcade there or something like that. And there's a simulator there. People could like just swing a golf club on a simulator, right? There's so much going on that's like not a part of the actual golf event going on
Yeah.
that's bringing people that wouldn't pay to go to a golf event there and having eyes on the sport and seeing what it can be. And like there was a DJ, there's a whole thing. And separate from that, there's the people that walk with the guys hole to hole, have their
Yeah.
little benches, or drinking the water, watching the golf happen. You can have both. Both can exist in the same scope. And I think that they got beat to the punch there, and they didn't think that they would. They thought that was like, oh, you can't have a DJ at an event. It's going to disrupt the golfers. You can't have all this going on, all this like fun party atmosphere. You can't have people drinking over here. That's going to distract from the event. No. You have it far enough away from the holes of golf where it doesn't matter. Or it's like, hey, you guys are professional golfers. Deal with it.
Figure it out.
Figure it out, dude. Like on I think like I saw at a recent or live event, or at least one last year, on the par threes, there was like this big video board behind the par three, and it was like, here's what the last guy hit. Here's like how like his apex went. And like the guys are seeing that in the tee box, right?
Yeah.
They're living it up. I don't know if you saw the, you know, there's footage of the guy that hit the hole in one on the LIV Tour last year. That looked like a party. That looked like
Yeah.
a that looked like the Waste Management.
Yeah.
And that was just a stop on the 8-stop LIV Tour, right? Like these things can coexist. They are allowed to.
Yeah.
And not just coexist, but the one is it should be allowed to take over the other. And, you know, like people don't play football like they did in the 70s anymore, right? Like you got dudes like Patrick Mahomes who no look
Thankful balls.
pass, shovel pass, you know, they're having fun, they're making flair plays, you know. They don't play hockey like they used to in the 80s, okay? There's a curve in their stick now, and they can roof it top 90, upper 90. You
Upper
know,
nine.
you got guys who are able to Michigan and do the lacrosse move around the net. You couldn't do that back in the 80s. That's because the sport grew and they realized people like to have fun with it and be creative. You know, the PGA Tour is so stuck in their ways, they won't let that happen. The LIV Tour saw the gap in the in you know what golfers like us wanted to see. They took that. There might not be great viewership right now, but the idea is there and it's worked for 2 years. And
Yeah.
it's continuing to work to a degree where top flight golfers are going over there to play. So the PGA Tour really,
It goes back to the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I think that's, I wouldn't be shocked if Greg Norman had that just on a plaque in his office, because it's like that's the mindset they're going with. Baby steps, get one guy every 4 months, one big guy every 4 months or whatever. Obviously that's a fake number I just made up, but
Right,
like
but
get a
you get
few
the
guys a
extent.
year, move from the YouTube TV to television network, which we can have a whole nother conversation whether that was a good idea or not, but like move on to actual cable, things like that, that they're evolving slowly. And it's funny because we talked about it when this immediately happened, that this was going to be a thing, and we were like, the Saudis are sport washing everybody and it's so bad and everything. And now we're all sport washed because we're all like, this is just better than
It
what the
happened.
product is with the PGA Tour. And
It happened.
unfortunately, that's how this stuff works. If you give something better, people are going to want it. People are going to look past the fact that you paid your way into being where you're at.
You
It's,
know.
it sucks and it feels bad. People would rather watch a live event because of it's more modern and it's more akin to what people actually like about events like that, as opposed to what the PGA Tour is putting on. Don't get me wrong. Love the PGA Tour events that we've been to, but most people playing golf right now are post-college kids looking for a sport that they can go hang out with their buddies. They can pretend they're still athletes and not NARPs. Have a good time.
100%.
And that's what the LIV Tour is giving them right now.
It's a lot about just ignoring the narpiness, you know.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, from what I've heard about live events, and we've been to a PGA Tour event and we did have a blast, I would much rather go to a live event right now.
It sounds like a festival
It
almost.
sounds like a festival. And it's like, yeah, you're there for golf, but also there's just so much other stuff to
Yeah.
do,
Yeah.
you know, which helps grow the game. That's like the thing about it, you know. That's there's you know, off-field entertainment at football games and at baseball games. There's off-ice and off-court entertainment at basketball and hockey games because the greater, you know, powers that be in these leagues realize, well, when people have families and are coming to these things, the kiddos might not want to just sit down, shut up, and watch the game. You know what I mean? They might want to go do stuff. So let's have stuff for them to do so that people continue to show up. All this type of advancement that other sports did and the PGA Tour refused to do, well, now you're behind the eight ball. You were the king of golf for a century plus, maybe 2 centuries plus. And you fumbled the bag when it mattered, when you were pressed by another league that was going to do the new stuff that you refused to do. You said, "Nope, ain't going to work. We don't think that you got the right product."
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it worked. And yeah, the sports washing thing, that does suck. Here's the issue about that though, is in the end, it's all about entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Sports is supposed to be entertaining. You're supposed to enjoy watching it. They're kind of doing that. They're doing the whole entertainment bit.
If they're
It's
given the
fairly
best product,
important.
that's pretty much what it comes down to.
So obviously, again, it's not the 31st. Anything can happen from now to the 31st, but definitely a huge influx of money is going to be thrown the way of the PGA. And obviously the LIV Tour has all of its money. And when that merger comes together, there's going to be this huge shift in what golf professionally is going to be. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But basically all the new news, or to rehash old news, however you want to look at it, that we have about the merger. Again, next week obviously is Christmas, so we're not going to get any news then. But stay tuned to the golf world out there. We'll talk about it in the new year, see what we have at that point. But to wrap up the episode here, we did have a little bit of PGA Tour golf, as the PNC Championship did happen in Orlando, Florida. Yes, Tiger did play with Charlie. Charlie did look like he shot up a foot and a half. Basically looks like a young adult at this point, and is hitting the ball like it, as he I believe he drove the ball. There was a 320-yard par four where he drove through the green, because that's a thing that he...
Because that doesn't make you want to just find the nearest bridge and jump right off.
What? That's so nuts. I mean, Charlie Woods is definitely going to be a huge part of the future of golf, which is another wrinkle in this whole thing, obviously, right? Because it's like, how does Charlie feel about all this, right? Because this is the future that he's looking at right now. Like, what golf is going through right now, how it will look in 5 years will directly impact Charlie Woods. You know what I mean? So that'll be interesting to see. As far as the way that Tiger played, obviously not a whole lot to glean from that, as there was a golf cart involved. So yeah, he looked good. He made good shots. So did Charlie. But when there's a golf cart, professional golfers usually are pretty good at taking advantage of that being a thing. Because right now you're kind of looking at where Tiger's at in his career, and the real question is, can he walk 72 holes? That's the biggest question about his game. I don't think anybody's sitting here being like, oh, I think he lost his swing. No, that's Tiger doesn't lose his swing. That's not how it works. What happened is he almost lost his leg. So that's a small issue. But I don't know if you saw any footage, Rick, from the PNC, but was there anything that you took away from the Tiger and Charlie show? By the way, they came in T5 as Bernard and Jason Langer won the event.
I think the best thing for me about the whole weekend was that it was known, and based on like the posts and everything, they made it known that this is like a family thing. Because it could be one of those things that gets lost in the PGA Tour. It's like, oh, there's a PGA Tour event, but it's not. It's a family thing. And I loved that Tiger had his daughter on the bag as well as playing with Charlie. So it was basically just a family hangout time, which is awesome to me. That's the kind of thing that, again, is going to grow the sport. People are going to see that, be like, oh, I could do this with my kids. Like, obviously, don't go have your 5-year-old carrying your bag on the course for you.
Tom, we're talking to you. Don't have your poor children carry your
Like,
bag.
you can get your kids into golf, like, and you can make it a family thing. It doesn't just have to be something you go out and do with your buddies. You can get your kids into it, and it can be a family thing that you do. You go play 9 holes with your kids, stuff like that. And things like that being taken away from this are what I like about events like the PNC, where it's like all these people are family. They're playing with their daughters, their dads, their brothers, everything. And that's what I like about this tournament. Woods specifically, Charlie looks like an animal,
Oh my God, he's so
because he
good.
drove multiple greens, which is
He's
insane. And if he can just like, because I don't think he's doing great right now as far as like playing on like juniors and stuff like that. But if he can figure some stuff out, he could just start destroying everybody.
Yeah, I
If
mean,
you're driving greens, I mean,
he's hitting
on
the
a
piss out of the ball, dude.
320, what do you say,
Yeah.
320
320
yard?
yard, yep. Through it.
Insane.
Through the green.
Insane. He's way too young to be doing that.
Yeah, he's 14 years old and is playing at 6,500 yards, which, by the way, folks,
Farther than most of us play.
Farther than most of us are playing. Fun fact for you. You can look at any, your local scorecard, unless your course is unordinarily long or you're playing from the tips and, you know, actually are good. The 6,500 is actually on the longer end of you know, the whites at any
Yeah.
given, you know, municipal course. So he's playing longer than most grown adults at 14 years old
And driving greens.
and driving greens. He's that good.
Figure
And
out the technicalities.
yeah.
We got a new Rory McIlroy on our hands.
And he did chip one in during the weekend. So the short game's there. It's just not, you know, I don't believe it's the best part about his game. Obviously, he's 14 years old. There's about so much room for his game to grow.
Still has to go through puberty.
Yeah, right? Like,
He'll probably be hitting it farther.
he's not even like a man yet. He doesn't even have facial hair. Like, there's nothing going on yet that he can gleam from natural strength wise, and he's driving
Yeah.
it this far. Come on, it's ridiculous.
Once he can go to the gym and start putting on muscle, it's
God.
over for everybody.
Jeez, you know, it makes you feel like the game's in good hands moving forward. And you know, if this is just the kind of the years as they go on, it's going to be the more and more passing of the torch from Tiger to Charlie, then it is what it is. But you know, as far as Tiger's concerned, he looked good. Would just hope that he looks that good when it comes to walking 72 holes, but that remains to be seen, as he didn't really do all that well in the one tournament that he's played this year so far. But you know, we still have the whole next year. He's going to be one more year removed from his injury, just that much stronger. So we'll be obviously looking into when Tiger plays this next year. Kind of, we'll probably have a pop in at some point in the middle of the year to see how Charlie's doing in the PGA Junior rankings and stuff of that nature. But other than that, that's pretty much it as far as golf news as of right now. As we go into Christmas again, just to let you know, we are not going to have an episode for Christmas, as next Monday is Christmas Day, and that's when we usually do our recording. So a merry, merry Christmas to those who celebrate, and a happy, happy holidays to those that don't. Whoever you are and why ever you're listening, we appreciate you nonetheless. If you guys can go ahead and hit the follow button on our social media platforms, on Instagram at from the tips underscore pod, and on Twitter at FTT underscore pod, we'd appreciate it. Go ahead and hit the follow button on Spotify too. I feel like we don't say that enough.
Yeah.
But you know, we gained a shocking amount of followers. You know, through that throughout the season, so or the year, so we appreciate it. Go keep hitting the follow button. Hit some stars if you listen on Apple Podcasts. Go ahead and hit the star on there. Give us some reviews. That would be great. That helps promote us. We would love it if you did that.
But I want that.
Yeah, and as always, thank you so much. Have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, and we out.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.